Welcome to another broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Please stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how God can use you to impact the lives of people around the world. And now, here's today's message.
Father, that is truly our prayer this morning, that we would spend our lives asking you to be our everything. God, I just ask, starting with me today, and I pray for everyone here this morning, for those listening online in different parts of the world, God, I just gather all of us together by prayer, and I pray that if any of us are holding on to any part of our lives, afraid or unwilling to let it go to you, God, I pray you'd meet us this morning and help us to truly be able to say, you are our everything. God, may we live our lives for your purpose, for your desires, for your mission. And may our life be secondary to that. I invite you to take a moment right now as we're just in this silent time of prayer. And just spend a moment with the Lord, asking Him to meet you at your greatest point of need right now, this morning. Coming in here today, I know that there were so many different things brought into this room, in our hearts and in our minds. So many heavy burdens, cares and concerns and worries and fears. Would you give those to Him now? God, we ask you to take this time. We give it to you as our offering, the offering of our lives. I pray, Father, you would come and continue the great work here that you've already begun through these amazing worship songs today. I pray that your Spirit would have freedom to move. I pray that our hearts would be open to receive your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to see you. Last Sunday, we started a series called Seeing Life Through God's Eyes. Talked about the importance, especially in the times in which we're living, when things are so bad for so many people, how vitally important it is for us to not view our life and our circumstances and our needs through our eyes, but to see all of that through the eyes of God, knowing that He has bigger purpose in mind. Today I want to continue that thought. I want to talk to you this morning about delays and detours. Nobody that I know likes to see either of those signs when they're driving down the road. Delays and detours. But I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning about a message that I've entitled, Trusting God in the In-Between Times. If you have your Bibles, open them to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, down near the end of your New Testament. I told you last week how James was writing to the Christians from Jerusalem who had been under heavy persecution. They had been scattered, the Bible tells us, all across Judea and Samaria, in different places. And now James is writing a letter of encouragement to them to tell them how they ought to think and act in the midst of these very difficult times. We looked at 1 through 3 last week. Let me just start at verse 2 today. And there's a phrase in verse 4 that I want us to sort of come back to at the end and really focus on. James said, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance or patience or steadfastness." Verse 4, perseverance must finish its work. Underline that in your Bible. Don't be afraid to mark your Bible. It'll help you years from now when you look back and remember a time when God spoke to you. There's nothing holy about the leather and the paper and the ink. It's the content that's holy. So don't be afraid to mark in your Bible. I promise you it will pay dividends in the future. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. In this text, the word trials and the word test or testing is the same Greek word. It means to put to the proof. To put to the proof. That's why we take tests in life, so that we can know that we know what we need to know. Tests are very important. It's by taking and passing tests, whether it's a driver's license test, whether it's an engineering test, the medical board exams, whatever it is, it's by taking and passing tests that you can be who other people trust you to be. I don't know anybody who would want to have major surgery by a doctor who failed the medical boards. I don't know anybody who would want to fly on a 747 across the Atlantic Ocean with a pilot who was never tested. With a pilot who just said, you know, I'm going to skip that part, go straight to the cockpit, and I'm going to fly. If any of us knew that, we'd be busting a hole in the window trying to climb out before it taxied down the runway. Why? Because he hasn't proven himself capable because he didn't want to go through the tests. Tests prepare you to do what you've been called to do. Now, I'll be honest with you. I think my childhood would have gone a whole lot better if all of my teachers would have just moved me up to the next grade without making me take and pass all those tests. In my mind, life would have been a whole lot better. But you can't do that because you have to be capable of handling the next level before the next level is handed to you. Are you guys with me today? You have to be capable of handling the next level before the next level is handed to you. Have you ever noticed people who win the lottery so often? What's the outcome of the story? You see, a short time later, they've lost everything. Why? Well, it's very, very simple. Because there is no such thing as instant success. There's no such thing as instant character. If a person has not train themselves and discipline themselves to handle a little bit of money, they'll never be able to correctly handle a lot of money. They bypassed the maturing and the training part of handling that. It's the same thing is true in the Christian life. I want you to know, gang, God has great things, important things planned for you in the days to come. But God won't trust you with tomorrow until you've proven yourself faithful today. This is a principle that runs deep throughout Scripture. I don't have time to get into this, but I think personally the simple little parable of the talents that Jesus told. You remember that one? I think it's one of the most pivotal, important, central principles of the entire Christian life. That God gives to us a little bit and says, I want to see how you invest this for my kingdom, and I'll be back to check on you. And he comes back and he either says, you haven't been faithful with what I've given you, therefore I'm not taking you to the next step. Or he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with the little, now I will entrust you with much. It's a principle of testing, of proving, that runs throughout the whole Bible. And as part of the testing that God sends our way, I have some more great news for you this morning. Aren't y'all loving having me back? It gets better. I end on a really, really great note today, I promise you. Last week we talked about trials and hardships and troubles. And thank you, church, for receiving such a hard message with such grace. I really appreciate that. So last week we talked about all the hardships and the troubles and the trials, but two other things that God uses, I have found, in the life of a believer to test us, to prove us, to teach us what we need to know are delays and detours. And I'll tell you, I don't like delays. And especially here in our culture, in America, we don't like delays. We are a society that has been trained to rely upon instant gratification. You want that new TV? No problem. Get instant credit. Take it home today. You want that new car? No credit check. No problem. Come on in and drive it off the lot today. Don't wait. Why wait? We're Americans. We don't have to wait for anything. If you've ever found yourself standing in front of the microwave yelling, "Hurry up!" then you know it's proof that we're a messed up society. Some of you have done that, haven't you? Just impatient. Come on, one more minute? Are you kidding me? And you know, we're thrilled when we find a shortcut for something. I mean, you learn a new keyboard shortcut on your computer, you're like, yes! A second and a half off my day right there. You travel the same route every day and somebody says, hey, you need to go down there. You'll save like a half a mile. You're like, oh, this is great. A shortcut. But what we need to know is that doesn't translate into the Christian life. There are no shortcuts to spiritual maturity. I sometimes hear people say, oh, man, I wish I knew the Bible like so-and-so. I wish I had a marriage as strong as them. And I want to go to them and say, really? Let's go talk to them and let's find out what kind of investment they have made for 20 or 30 years. My friend Moose Keller knows the Bible as well as anybody I've ever met. Why? Because he's a genius? Sorry, Moose. He's not. He's a little smarter than me, but we'll end it there. Moose doesn't know the Bible as well as he does by luck or by chance or by shortcuts. I met Moose in 1985, 25 years I've known this guy. And he gets up at 4:30 in the morning to spend 3 hours with God in His Word. Why does he know the Bible? He's paid the price. He's gone through the tests. Oh man, if I just had a marriage like them, well, let's go talk to them and find out the years and years and years of perseverance and patience and grace and forgiveness that has gone on in that marriage. There are no lucky marriages. It's all hard work. And all the married couples said, amen. Boy, some of you men are crazy for saying amen to that one. You got a long afternoon ahead of you. I suckered you into that one all the way. Listen, we hate to wait. We want things now. But what I want to tell you this morning is if you're in a moment of waiting in your life, waiting is one of God's greatest classrooms where He will teach us things we cannot learn any other way. We can't. I can't fully explain that to you. I don't have a deep theological reason for that. God knows how we're wired, and He knows that putting us in a delay, making us wait on Him and trust Him, even when He doesn't seem to be answering our prayers. Anybody ever been there? It's in that waiting that a maturing begins to take place that we cannot get any other way. We see this in the lives of people throughout the Bible. I think of King David. We always talk about him as King David. But did you know the Bible tells us clearly that David was anointed king when he was a young boy, probably 12 to 15 years old. And yet, the Bible tells us that David was 30 years old when he became king, when he was able to assume what was rightfully his for probably 15 years. Why? Because God had to teach David some things in those years and years and years of waiting that He couldn't teach him instantly. And a long time after that, David wrote this in Psalm 27. These beautiful words that he had learned from experience. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. For some of you here today, that might make a great memory verse for this week. We see the same thing in the life of Abraham. We miss this so often. We think that Abraham maybe waited a few months or maybe a year for God's promise to come true. The truth is, in Genesis 12, the call of Abraham, Genesis 12, 4 tells us that Abraham was 75 years old when God promised him a child. He and Sarah were barren. They couldn't have children. Abraham was 75 when God said, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to give you descendants. And we miss this. You turn page after page after page after page in the story of old Abe, and you get to Genesis 21:5, and we find out the Bible says Abe was 100 years old when Isaac was born to him. 25 years. 25 years of hearing in his mind play over and over again the voice of God, Abraham, I will make of you a great nation. 25 years. As a matter of fact, sometimes in the blank spaces in the Bible, there's beauty. Between the end of Genesis 16, the last verse in Genesis 16, and the first verse of Genesis 17, there are 13 years of silence in Abraham's life. 13 years of silence. I will tell you this morning, gang. In the story of your life, there are going to be a lot of blank pages. Times when you feel like God is on vacation, when He doesn't care about you anymore, He's not listening to your prayers, He's just gone. I promise you, when you get to the end of your story and you look back, you will see God's fingerprints all over those blank pages. Will we trust Him during those times of delays? As God making you wait right now for anything? How you doing with it? It's hard. It's hard. I want to tell you, you can trust Him during the times of delay. God uses detours as well in our life. God takes us on routes that we had never planned to go. And I think there are a number of reasons for this. One of them is, one of the reasons God takes us on detours is to allow us to touch someone else's life that we never otherwise would have had contact with. What may seem like a pointless detour to you may be an opportunity for God to use your life to share His love and His truth and His grace with someone who desperately, desperately needs it. Acts 8:4, I shared this with you last week about the believers who were scattered because of the persecution. It tells us that in Acts 8:1, but in Acts 8:4, it says that the believers who had been scattered, watch this, their lives were messed up. They had to leave their homes. All their plans were changed. This was a big detour for them that they hadn't planned on. Acts 8:4 says, the believers who were scattered preached the word wherever they went. We see this with the Apostle Paul. He was arrested not for a crime, but for being a Christian. Arrested, put in chains, and he wrote these beautiful words, "I am chained, but the Word of God is not chained." You see how he's looking at his situation through God's eyes and not his eyes? In fact, he also wrote and said, "I am in chains for Christ." That's how he saw his situation. And he said, "Because of my chains, many people throughout the entire palace guard have come to know Christ." I mean, what a thing. What do we do when we get in, quote, chains in life? Well, we wrestle and kick and we get frustrated and we get mad at God because our plan is over there and yet He's got us over here on a detour. And we say, "God, come on, hurry up, fix this so I can get back to my life." And we miss the opportunity. I saw this so beautifully about a year ago. I got a call in the middle of the night that my dad was having chest pains and was being raced to the emergency room, and I got up and went over there with him. I'll never forget this as long as I live. My dad laying there on the stretcher in the emergency room, and they got things worked out and got him, you know, calmed down, and the doctor comes in. Now, picture this. My dad's laying on the stretcher. The doctor comes in and he's standing over my dad talking to him. So they get through the unimportant stuff to my dad, like what's wrong with his heart. My dad then gets on to the important stuff. He looks up at the doc and he says, "Doc, you know the Lord. You ever been saved?" I kid you not. The doctor says, "No, sir. But I've been thinking about it." And they talk, and my dad says, "Could I pray with you right now?" He said, "Yes, sir, you could." And as they're praying, tears from the doctor's eyes are splashing down on my dad's shirt while he prays to receive Christ. Dad gets home. He says, "Well, I guess we know what that trip was for." Listen. It's all how you see life. Are you seeing life through God's eyes? It's not an instant thing. It's a process that we learn to do, to see life through God's eyes. I'll never forget that moment. It taught me a great lesson. Sometimes God takes us on detours because He needs to get our attention, to wake us up from our complacency. Am I the only follower of Christ who has times in life where I just get bummed out on the whole thing? I just want to get comfortable. I just want to stay where I am. Thank you very much. And God, if you'd go bug somebody else for a few months, that would be great with me. Because I'm thinking they really need it. Go work on them. Give me a rest. We get comfortable in life and we want to stay where we are. We don't want anything coming along messing up our plans and our comfort. And too many people just want to get in the door of God's saving grace. They just want to just get in the door of God's saving grace and then stay there for the rest of their lives. But I want to tell you, church, listen, God, don't ever forget this. God didn't save you just so you could miss hell. He saved you because He has a mission for you. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I'm the only one on mission for God. I can't do it myself. God has a mission for you bigger than heaven, bigger than missing hell. And too often we get settled in and God has to come and shake up things in our life and take us on a detour to remind us that we're supposed to be living for His purposes, not for our own. I remember this so clearly in our lives. Some of you here walked with us through this time and you remember it well. I had a time in my life when I thought I was doing what God wanted me to do, but I was really getting comfortable, and God came along and said, I need to shake you guys up a little bit. And Phil and Sandy, this was years ago when the kids were little, I want you to pack up your stuff, leave Greenville, move to Lawrenceville, Georgia, never heard of it, and help start a church. I was like, whoa, that's huge. We prayed and we wrestled and we said, all right, God, we'll do it. We put a for sale sign in our yard. We needed your help, man. Listen, we put a for sale sign in our yard. We started driving to Lawrenceville every Sunday. 250 miles there and back. You go, man, I drive like 12 miles to church. Whatever. 250 miles every Sunday with two little kids, there and back, for 2 years. Our house never sold. It was the most bizarre thing. We would have people come in and look and go, oh, this is exactly what we've been looking for. How soon can you be out? We're like, all right, it's a done deal. And we would never hear from them again. And we couldn't sell our house. Nothing was moving. And yet we were going through this trip every weekend, back and forth, back and forth. And at the end of 2 years, God finally began speaking to us and said, right, now that I've proven you faithful, I never wanted you to be a part of that church in Lawrenceville. I want you to start a church in Greenville called Life Point. And I can tell you that this never would have happened unless Sandy and I had been willing to slog it out on that detour for 2 years every weekend. It never would have happened because we wouldn't have been prepared. When we came out of the other side of that 2 years, it seemed like a waste of time. I felt miserable until God showed us this vision. God gave me this verse in Deuteronomy 8:2. He said, now you will see how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness these 40 years to humble you, to prove you. There's that word again. To put to the proof. To see what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commands or not. I wrote this down this week. God will sometimes take you where you didn't plan to go in order to get you where you need to be. I close by coming back to James 1:4. What I want you to remember this morning is that even in the midst of those delays and those detours, there is a deliberate process at work. What may seem like random distractions, random delays, I want you to know God has a process at work. James 1:4 said, perseverance must, what, church? Finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. God lifted those three words out of James 1:4 to me. I'd never noticed them before in all the years I'd read that passage until the end of our Lawrenceville detour. God said, Phil, it wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a detour. It wasn't even, I kind of deliberately misled you on the title of my message, it wasn't even an in-between time. Because church, listen, with God, there are no in-between times. It's all important time. We want to get from point A to point B, don't we? When we're at A, we're looking at B down the road and going, oh, if I could just be there, things would be better. If I could just be there, I would serve God. God says, no, you wouldn't. It's the trip that I'm interested in, not the destination. There's a process at work. My daughter Caroline makes one mean chocolate cake. She just cooks this awesome chocolate cake. And I remember a while back, I was in the house and I started smelling this wonderful smell of chocolate cake just drifting through every crevice of the house. And it was calling my name. And I got up and went to the kitchen. I was like peeking in the oven going, oh, this smells so good. And it still had a bunch of time left on the timer. And I wanted so bad to take the thing out right now and eat it right now because I couldn't wait. But if I had done that, I would have messed up the whole thing. Because in order for a cake to become a cake, listen, it has to stay in the heat for the prescribed amount of time. Are you with me? I bet you never knew that God's formula for your life was the same as making a cake. God's going to have times where He puts you in the heat. And the first thing we want to do is get out. Get me out, get me out. It's hot in here. I don't like this, God. Come on. We've got to be willing to stay in the furnace and let God do His work in us. I close with this thought from Job. Man, what a statement. What an incredible viewpoint this is. Job was living in the midst of a horrible, what must have seemed like an unending delay and a detour in his life. You know the story, right? And Job, day after day after day, must have been thinking, God, what in the world did I do? I've tried to be an upright man and blameless in all my ways. That's what God said he was. God, what's the deal? My children are dead. My home is gone. My property is destroyed. My cattle are dead. I've lost everything. And now my three jerk friends are sitting here accusing me. And my wife is telling me just to curse you and die. And as Job is in the middle of this horrible, bleak situation, he first looks through his eyes. And here's what he says, looking through his eyes. See if you can identify with these words. He's looking for God and he says, if I go to the east, He's not there. If I go to the west, I do not find Him. When He's at work in the north, I don't see Him. When He turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of Him. Have you ever been there, church? God, where are you? I don't see you anywhere at work. But then in the very next verse, Job must have shaken himself to his senses and said, wait a minute. I'm looking through my eyes. Let me look at this through God's eyes. And in the very next sentence, he says this, but He knows the way that I take. And when He has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Turn to somebody beside you and say, I want to come forth as gold. Do that right now. Church, listen to me. The only way that God can do His maturing, testing, proving work in your life is through times of pain, through times of hurt, through times of delays, and through times of detours. If you're there this morning, and I know many of you are, may I encourage you to say, God, help me be willing to stay in the furnace of affliction until I'm done. Until I hear the little ding go off on the stove and I know the cake is ready and it'll be nourishing and pleasant to everybody who eats it. Listen, I want to tell you, if you're willing to allow God to do His baking process in your life, you're going to come forth as something that is beautiful. And it will be an encouragement and a nourishment to everybody who knows you. Be patient. God's not finished with you yet. Let's pray. Father, I pray that no one here would get the wrong impression and think that I'm bringing a message like this because I've got it all figured out. God, I still struggle. I still squirm sometimes when I'm in the heat, when I'm in the heat of affliction and the furnace, and I want to get out. But God, I can say that every year that goes by in my life, I'm becoming more and more agreeable with what you want to do in my life. And I thank you for that. I thank you for that work of grace in my life. I pray for my precious church family and for any who may be guests here today who I don't know. God, I know without a doubt so many here are in moments of delays and detours. God, I just pray you'd give them a special portion of your grace to be able to look right in the face of that issue and somehow smile and say, I don't understand it at all, and I may never. But God, I want you to do your proving work in my life because I want to come forth as gold. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If today's message has been an encouragement to you, would you consider partnering with this ministry to help reach more people with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ? Your prayers and financial gift would be a direct investment in changing lives for eternity by allowing us to continue spreading the gospel to people around the world. If God enables you to give, just visit our website at lifepointsc.org. and click the online giving button. If you prefer to contact us by mail, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening and for your investment in the mission of Christ. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.